Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, text number 39. Raja Kalatram Pashava Sutadayo Krihamahi Kanjara Koshabhutayaha Sarverta Kama Shana Bango Gurayusha. So, Korvanti Martasya Kiyat Priyam Chala. Raja or Raya, wealth. Kalatram, one's wife and feminine friends. Pashava, domestic animals like cows, horses, asses, cats, and dogs. Sutta Adaya, children, and so on. Griha, big buildings and residences. Mahi, land. Kunjara, elephants. Kosha, treasury house. Bhutayaha, and other luxuries for sense gratification, material enjoyment. Sarve, all. Artha, economic development. Kama, and sense gratification. Shana, bangura, perishable in a moment. Ayusha, of one whose duration of life. Korvanti, effect or bring. Martyasya, of one who is destined to die. Kiyat, how much. Priya, pleasure. Chala, flickering and temporary. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury, economic development, and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? Purport. This verse describes how the advocates of economic development are frustrated by the laws of nature. As the previous verse asks, Kim Visha Yo Papadanai? What is the actual benefit of so-called economic development? The history of the world has factually proven that attempts to increase economic development for bodily comfort through the advancement of material civilization have done nothing to remedy the inevitability of birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world. The Roman Empire, the Mongol Empire, the British Empire, and so on. But all these societies engage in such economic development, sarvartha kama, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. In this verse, therefore, it is said, Korvanti martyasya kiyat priyam chala. One may be very proud of possessing a vast empire, but such empires are impermanent. After 100 or 200 years, everything is finished. All such positions of economic development, though created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as chala. An intelligent man should conclude that material economic development is not at all pleasing. The entire world is described in Bhagavad Gita as dukhalyam ashasvatam, miserable and temporary. Economic development may be pleasing for some time, but it cannot endure. Thus many big businessmen are now very morose because they are being harassed by the various plundering governments. In conclusion, why should one waste his time for so-called economic development, which is neither permanent nor pleasing to the soul? On the other hand, our relation with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is eternal. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna. And thus permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially in this age, the concession is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, one revives his original relation with God, and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha Kamaye. Very advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness does not want riches, followers or possessions. Raya, Kalatra, Pasava, Sutadayo, Griha, Mahi, Kunjara, Kosha, Bhutayaha. The satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs, who cannot revive their eternal relation with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal, dormant relation with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described this life as arthadam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relation with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives. One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury, economic development, and sense gratification, and even the lifetime in which we can enjoy all these material opulences, are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? Nanyan deho deha bhajam riloke. Kastan karman arhate vidya budyam ye tupo divyan putraka yena sadvam shudyat tasmai brahma sokyam tunam tam. Maharaj Rishabde says, deha nanyam deho deha bhajam riloke, that nanyam deho deha bhajam riloke kastan karman arhate vidbujamye, that everyone is getting their sense gratification in all the different species of life. Whatever body one gets, generally the normal kind of sense gratification will be somehow or another available. But once you're not in the human form of life, try to act like a hog or dog. Because the human form of life is meant for self-realization. Tapasya. Especially the tapasya of fixing the mind upon Krishna, which is the most important tapasya of all. Because if one is able to perform that tapasya of fixing the mind upon Krishna, then all the other tapasyas will automatically follow. In order to do that, to help us, there are different types of tapasya, like the tapasya of the body. who is explaining the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socham Arjavam Brahmacharya Ahimsam Cha Shariram Tapuchite, so that the body can be engaged in tapasya. Deva. Deva means Krishna, or it means the demigods or higher personalities. That Deva Dvija, the twice born, the Brahmins especially, Guru, the initiating and instructing spiritual masters, Deva Dvija Guru Praga, Pujanam, so that one should honor these personalities. Socham, cleanliness, internally and internally. Arjavam, simplicity. Brahmacharyam, celibacy. Ahimsa, nonviolence. That these are the austerities of the body. Especially honesty, arjavam, or truthfulness, which means ultimately Krishna consciousness, and cleanliness. Now, if one can, if one's body is engaged in austerity, especially the mind is engaged in Krishna consciousness, and one keeps oneself internally and externally clean, then actually one will be very careful about what one says in order to not disrupt one's normal state of consciousness. Therefore, anuvega karam vakyam satvam priya hitam chayat swarya vyasanam chaiva vangmana tapuchate. We have to be careful what we say, because it'll come back, we'll have to listen to it. We say things that are useless or nonsense, then our minds will become nonsense too. Obviously, what we say is a result of our intelligence. We have no intelligence, then we'll say all kinds of unintelligent things, useless things. So therefore, one should carefully consider what proper speech should be based on real intelligence. So Krishna says, anuvegam karam vakyam. So it shouldn't agitate people's minds. Our purpose of life is not to put people in a situation where their minds become agitated and they can't understand anything we're doing or saying. That in order for people to understand what we're saying, their minds have to be, can't be agitated, or else their intelligence will be taken away. Karam vakyam satvam. And what we say should be truthful. We shouldn't concoct things in order to get some kind of advantage. We shouldn't lie to people just to make them feel good. Sometimes it's necessary, like Sanatana Goswami when he was imprisoned by the Nawab. Then he wanted to escape. So he told the jailkeeper that the Nawab put him into prison, who was the jailkeeper. He said to the jailkeeper, by the way, I have a few extra gold coins, and since you're a great person, I'd like to donate them to you. And since you're the knower of the Quran, you know that one who liberates a person from prison also gets liberated. And Prabhupada said that obviously he was lying to the jailkeeper, flattering him. First of all, when he said, you're the knower of all the Quran, that was a lie. He probably never saw a copy of the Quran in his life. As far as his being all-knowing of it, he probably knew nothing about it. But because he was honored, therefore he accepted it graciously. And once he accepted it gracefully, that is, if he was a knower, then Sanatana Goswami said, of course you know that in the Quran it says that one who liberates a prisoner, he also gets liberation from material existence. So the jailkeeper had to admit, yes, of course I've read that passage. 5-3, right? 5-2. Oh, that is close. So he said, well, please, you know, let me go and you'll get, I'll give you a few extra gold coins that I just happen to have hanging around here. as a donation to a great soul like you. But the jailkeeper said, well, you know, I might get into trouble with the Nawab. So he said, no worries, just tell the Nawab that Sanatana Goswami, he passed stool and he went to bathe in the ocean, and he took his ball and chain with him and tried to escape and drowned in the ocean. And don't worry about me, because I'll just go to Mecca and you'll never see me again anyhow. So he was lying to the jailkeeper, but it was necessary for Krishna's service. But if the Nawab would have come, maybe his Nawab, and they captured Sanatan, and they asked the jailkeeper, why did you let him go? Well, it says that in the Quran, I should let him go. I wanted liberation. Where in the Quran? 5:3, he said. There is no 5:3 in the Quran. He lied to me. So we have to be careful. We just don't indiscriminately tell people lies just to get some advantage from them. But sometimes in Krishna service, that might be necessary. Priya, it should be pleasing. Not that we say things in such a way as that people think, let me go and hide from this person. He's hurt my feelings, he's hurt everyone else's feelings, all in the name of love of God. In order to make me happy and develop love of God, he's made me feel morose and despondent. I'm on my way, I'm progressing. It should be pleasing. Hitam. And it should be beneficial. Not that we tell people things that have no value. It may be completely truthful that there is no green cheese on the moon. And it may be pleasing. We may say in a very nice way, but it may be useless. Who cares if there's green cheese or not? It has no benefit. Priyam hitam chaya swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva. So, anuvega karam vakyam satvam priya hitam chaya swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva. And it should be something which is supported by Shastra. Not that we made it up. It came to my mind and therefore it must be divine. We have to see if my speech actually has these qualities, and then it's austerity of speech in the mode of goodness. But ultimately, what are we trying to achieve? Manak prasadam somyatvam monamatma vinigraha bhava samshudir ityeta tamo manasam uchate. Do we know the verse where it is? 17:16. Manak prasada somyatvam monam atma vinigraha. So manak prasadam means satisfaction. If we're not satisfied, then we'll never be happy. We'll always hanker for something different. Yadrisha chopapanam swagam yadrisha labashantusto dvanvati tomi minirmatsaraha samaksiraval siddhau chakribhapi nainabhadite. Now one who is satisfied with gains which come of their own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is satisfied in both success and failure, is never entangled although performing work. In other words, unless we're satisfied in our mind, then we'll simply be taking one body after another. We're taking one body after another because we're not satisfied. We want to accomplish something more and more in the material world, and therefore Krishna gives us one body after another to accomplish it. Of course, one can only be truly satisfied if one is in Krishna consciousness and full of transcendental pleasure and love. Otherwise, it's not possible to actually be satisfied. But in the meantime, we should not hanker after unnecessary things simply due to mental concoction. When Arjuna was asking what's the symptom of a self-realized person, Krishna's first response was, Prajahiti yada kaman saram partha manogatan Atmanivatmana tushtastita pragyastitochite. One who is satisfied One who gives up all desires of sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, is said to be fixed in perfect knowledge. In other words, there is no value chasing after mentally some kind of illusory idea about what we have to get in order to become happy. Because anything we get in the material world in that mentality, due to material attachment, when we lose it, we'll be even more morose when we lose it. Hankering is painful and full of anxiety, and then you get more anxiety when you get it, and you're afraid of losing it. And then when you lose it, you're even more anxiety that you lost it. So from the beginning to the end, material hankering leads to lamentation and is all miserable. But we're used to misery. We think we call that love. And security. Security, like the dog is swimming out to the ocean, to cross the ocean, and we're thinking, well, I might not be able to swim the entire the ocean from here into New York, so let me catch hold of a dog, maybe he can make it. Catch hold of his tail, maybe he can swim me across the ocean. We're not going to make it, and the dog's not going to make it. Therefore, to become attached mentally to all these different things is just a waste of time. Instead of thinking about Krishna and the process of devotional service, we're just wasting our time thinking about useless things which have no benefit for us either in this life and certainly not in the next life. Or as Krishna says at the end of the 17th chapter, which is actually the end of the Bhagavad Gita, the end of the 17th chapter, Ashvadaya hutam datam tapastaptam kritam chaya asat ichyuchate partha nachate pratinyoyiha. That anyone who ashvadaya hutam datam, anything done as sacrifice, charity, or austerity without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and in the next. We may imagine people are gaining so many things, or we're gaining so many things, but all we're doing is gaining, if we're not gaining more Krishna consciousness, all we're doing is gaining problems in the name of so-called advancement. People have accumulated empires, as it said in the purport. Still they had to die. It didn't prolong their life even to one moment. Matter of fact, sometimes apparently it shortened their life quite a bit. If you have nothing, people don't bother you. Like Sanatana Goswami, when he was escaped from the prison of the Nawab, then he went with his servant Ishan, crossing some wilderness. And he came to a tavern. And when he came to the tavern, the tavern keeper treated him very nicely. So he was thinking, well, what's going on here? I'm just a mendicant. I haven't bathed. I haven't showered. I have this long beard. And he's treating me so nice. He doesn't look like a Brahmin. So the innkeeper said, I'll give you some, you know, grains and you can cook and I can help you cross the valley next day. So Sanatana Goswami said, what's going on? Why is this person so nice to me? So he asked Ishan, do you have anything with you, like gold coins or anything? He said, yes, I brought 8 gold coins. Really? Well, give them to me. So he took the gold coins and he gave them to the innkeeper. And the innkeeper said, yes, thank you very much. Actually, you saved me from the sin of having to murder you to get those gold coins. It appears that the innkeeper had a good astrologer. Everyone should have an astrologer like that. And he was able to, by somehow or another, by astrologically or reading the palm or whatever. He read his palm. Oh, there's 8 gold coins on your palm. No. He was able to ascertain that the Sanatana Goswami was traveling with 9 gold coins. So he said, yeah, my astrologer said you had 9 gold coins. So thank you for giving me 8. So Sanatana Goswami asked his servant, he said, well, what about the other gold coin? He said, you know, it's a rainy day and things. You got to say, never know what's going to happen. Coronavirus, whatever. So he said, take the gold coin and go back home. So the servant took the gold coin, went back home. And Sanatana Goswami became free from all kinds of problems because no one robs a mendicant, especially if he has no pockets. There's nothing to steal. You don't even want to touch him. What to speak of stealing something from. So then he was carefree because he knew he wasn't going to get into trouble from anyone. Of course, later on he was given a very nice quilt blanket by his brother-in-law, and therefore he also ultimately gave that up because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's suggestion, indirectly. So the point is, if you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. Therefore you have less anxiety. And if you have enough, more things you have, the more you're in anxiety about losing them. And ultimately, what are all these things meant for? They're meant to protect us from death. All this accumulation of knowledge, all this accumulation of wealth, all this accumulation of followers, etc., family, is all protections. Sanyasa, deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyesh. Asatsupi. Atma sanyesh. There are soldiers and are trying to conquer the material nature and avoid death. But they're all fallible because they die also. No one lives forever here. And therefore all this accumulation of wealth and followers, whatever else, ultimately doesn't help us. We have to die. And if we accumulate this wealth or followers by some kind of means other than spiritual, then the result is that we have to suffer the reaction for it. But still, when engaging in devotional service, Krishna supplies ananya chintiyantamam ye jana paripasate tesham nitya buyuktanam ye yoga shemam vahamyaham. To those who are constantly devoted and worshipping me, those who are constantly devoted, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. In other words, it's not that one will starve to death or one will not have basic necessities. One becomes a pure devotee of Krishna. Krishna will give one what one needs. It may not be extravagant. As Sridharma Vipara said on his way back from visiting Krishna in Dwarka, he said, actually, Krishna gave me nothing. Because he knew he would have given me some opulence, I would have become mad after materialistic advancement and pleasure. So knowing that I'm a poverty-stricken Brahmin who's susceptible to material desires, he didn't give me anything. So I can just spend my time thinking about him rather than trying to enjoy my senses. So he's very kind to me. So we shouldn't be discouraged if we don't get great material opulence, fame, follower, fortune, whatever. We should be concerned whether or not we're becoming Krishna conscious or not. Just be devoid of material opulence is not advancement. Become Krishna conscious is advancement. Too much material opulence will deviate one, and too little sometimes will make one susceptible for material desires too, searching after material advancement. So Krishna will provide. If we're sincere in our service, Krishna will give us what we need, like salt. If you put salt in your tongue, then it's very nice. If you add it to vegetables, just enough salt for taste. But if you put too much salt on the food, then it becomes unpalatable, unedible. So just enough salt so it tastes good, but not too much salt that you can't eat it. So material sense gratification should be like that. Just enough to satisfy the senses, but not too much to agitate them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I can hear the silence. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.